There's an area of business that will directly impact your retention rate that many people forget about. It becomes something that's just happening in the background that you don't even think about on a regular basis. But here's the deal. If you can put your attention towards it and you can focus on making it more proactive, there's an absolute goldmine waiting for you.
This is for you, the online business owner who wants to maximize your profit and multiply your impact. I'm Shanna, host of the Community Creators Podcast. I've spent over a decade helping top brands and entrepreneurs create thriving communities that increase their reach, retention, and revenue. This podcast is where I share my best insights and invite you into conversations with the world's leading community creators and cultivators. So grab your favorite mug, fill it up, and let's get started.
When I start working with clients to help increase their retention rates, they often think I'm only going to be working with the community team or the community department. But as you've heard in previous episodes where I've talked about the connection between marketing and retention, I really need to get my hands in lots of aspects of the business. And outside of marketing and outside of community, one of those departments I like to peek in on is the customer support or customer service department. Now, oftentimes I have clients tell me, oh, we have really amazing customer support. Whenever somebody tells me that some aspect of their business is amazing or they're doing really well in this area, I always want to ask them this one question. How do you know? How do you know that's true, that you have amazing customer support? And oftentimes it's qualitative metrics. So they're saying things like, oh, well, we don't really get many complaints about our customer support, or people say our customer support is really helpful and kind. But oftentimes there are not quantitative measurements or key performance indicators that are tied to the customer support department. If you don't have those, it's really important to have that in place. Why? Well, we all know that customer support is a part of the member journey. It really can impact retention. If somebody has a negative experience or if they feel like they can't get help when they need it, they can be very quick to lose trust and to ultimately cancel their membership. So having a really great customer support department is very important, or even just customer support process. If, let's say, your community manager or your virtual assistant or you are still doing your customer support, you don't want to neglect this area of the business and of your retention strategy. Even though this is a more reactive area where I usually teach a lot of proactive strategies that allow us to really head off any retention issues early on and develop systems and strategies that build a strong foundation for retention, these reactive areas like customer support are still very important and very valuable. Now, I often talk about communication and having a common culture and voice, and this comes into play with customer support because we want to make sure that it looks like when they interact with customer support, they're getting the same kind of culture, community vibe, and feeling that they get when they interact with the owner on Instagram or with the community manager inside of the Facebook group. We want customer support to have that same kind of warmth, and oftentimes I find that people hire customer support people that are really good at just implementing a checklist, copying and pasting over the macros or like the canned responses, but they lack the warmth, they lack the culture, they lack the fun that you might have in your brand. So one recommendation that I have outside of the KPIs, which I'll talk about in a minute, is just to go through your customer support pre-written responses that your team is using day in and day out, and make sure that those actually reflect the voice and the brand of the business overall and don't just accomplish the thing. They don't just tackle the problem, which often happens in customer support. It's like problem, solution in that email. And it doesn't leave me with warm, fuzzy feelings about my interaction with your team. Every interaction with the team is an opportunity to gain or lose a customer for life. So gaining a customer for life looks like going above and beyond, caring about them, creating a really great experience, even through the response to just one email. So you want to make sure to evaluate those canned responses and make sure to weave in some flavor, some vibe in there that really fits the personality of the business. So that's one area that I want you to look for. Now, when it comes to KPIs, we often have very simple KPIs to measure how a customer support department is doing. So if somebody does have data to back up their saying of my department, my customer support team is amazing, right? The data that they have is usually time it takes to close a ticket. So like, oh, we closed all of our tickets within 48 hours or whatever. And like getting to inbox zero or time to first response. So those are typically the three things that I see as KPI metrics for customer support teams. It's how long does it take on average to close a ticket? How long does it take on average to give that first response to a customer? And then how often are we at inbox zero? Like clear inbox, no support tickets hanging. These are all positive things. They reflect on the efficiency at which your department is able to operate. Here's what I don't like about these metrics. These metrics lean very heavily on speed and not on experience. Very heavily on close a ticket, respond, get this done, fast, 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 fast. But when you have that as the KPI, what happens is your team feels the pressure to respond fast. They feel the pressure to get to a solution quick. And that means they are not going to add the nuance and the personal touch and the thoughtful responses and the wow factor to those emails to your customers because they are being measured based on speed alone. So you want to make sure that those are not your only metrics. Now, oftentimes the other metric that people will say leads to great customer support is their like net promoter score, if you've ever heard of that. Basically, when a ticket is closed, you get that little survey that's like, how was your interaction with this person? Please give us a rating on a scale of 1 to 10 or how likely are you to recommend us or whatever. How's your experience? Okay. And then they use that rating to determine whether they have a good department or not. Now, here's the thing about that. The people who respond to those are usually on either end of the spectrum. So they either had a really poor experience, so they want to make sure you know about it, or they had a really great experience and they want to make sure you know about it. What you don't get is all of the people in the middle of the bell curve who just had your typical average customer support experience. So when you look at the average rating for your customer support department, you often forget to look at out of how many tickets. So let's say we have 1,000 tickets a month and we had 50 people fill out that survey. That's 5%, I think. Yes, doing quick math isn't always my skill set, but I think that's like 5%. 5% is you're going to let that 5% experience determine how you feel about your customer support department. Well, what that tells me is that you're not creating enough wow experiences because even if that 5%, let's say your 5% leads to an average of like 7, okay? Well, that tells me you have a pretty good mix of high ratings and low ratings. So you're doing just as good as everybody else out there in the customer support world. You're not at the bottom, you're not at the top, but is that really our goal when it comes to customer experience? But if you were to factor in all of the people who you didn't impact enough to even click the button to put a rating, and we said all of those people just rated you as 5 average, not great, not bad, just right in the middle, 5. And then you weight that into the average, then your average is going to drop significantly. Okay. So we have to factor in all the people that aren't responding to that survey. So that's why I don't necessarily love that piece of data either. Or I just want you to look at it differently because I want you to have an accurate reflection of how representative that average is of the entire experience that's being provided through your customer support. So what do you do? How do you handle this, Shanna? You don't like this data, you don't like that data. I get it. And I'm not saying don't track these things. Track the average time to close, track the average time to first response, track inbox zero, ask the survey question and track that, but also track how many people are actually, like what percentage of customers served are actually filling out that survey so that you can have a more accurate reflection of that number. Here's what I want you to do though. I really want you to start thinking about a more proactive approach to customer support. And the way that we need to think about this is going from a reactive look of how do we solve a problem once we learn about it to looking at approach of how do we identify problems that need long-term permanent resolutions. Our customer support departments are often taught to just respond to tickets, close tickets, fix problems. What I want you to teach them is that their job is to identify recurring problems and propose solutions. The goal here, ultimately, is to reduce the amount of tickets. That's one thing most of us don't measure, reducing the amount of tickets. So I want you to look at this reduction in the amount of tickets as a percentage, because again, like if we go from 1,000 members to 5,000 members, we should see an increase in the hard fact number of how many tickets we're getting. But of the percentage of members, let's say we had 50 tickets out of 1,000 members, that gives us a percentage. And so we can look every month and say we had X percent of tickets this month based on how many tickets we got and how many members we have. So that gives you an apples to apples comparison month after month as your membership grows or declines in size of members. If you want to create a thriving online community, you need to join my free Community Creators Hub. Inside of this free hub, you're going to get access to a searchable database of every episode of this podcast, as well as my favorite free resources, like my 77 plus connection ideas list, community manager best practices guide, and scripts for video messaging, plus so much more. Discover the tools and the resources that I rely on to grow and manage thriving online communities. Just go to communitycreatorshub.com to get your free access. So I want you to think about it like that, for one. And this is only going to happen if we tell our customer support team that your role is not just to be reactive and get in there, get into Help Scout or Zendesk or whatever, and just check your boxes and get all these tickets closed every day. But you should actually be setting aside time every day to track the problems that are being identified through customer support, propose potential solutions to those problems, and discuss them as a team. And whether that is with other customer support team members, or whether they reach out to tech people, or whether there is a meeting, which you guys know I love these check-in meetings, but a quick check-in meeting for the customer experience department every single month to discuss these problems and come up with solutions. So again, that means that reduction in tickets as a percentage of members is, or a percentage of customers even, is the goal. Okay. Not necessarily an increase in response time. It's not about getting one more quick response or closing another ticket. It's about preventing tickets in the first place. So how do we do this? How do we implement this proactive thinking? Well, first, it comes down to the role and responsibility of your customer support team member. Anytime we have new expectations for a team member, we want to make sure to reset those expectations. So, hey, Sally, you've been doing a really great job at managing customer support tickets. I love how you do X, Y, and Z. I've been thinking lately, in fact, I listened to this podcast episode that talked about customer support departments and how we can start thinking about customer support more proactively. And it got me thinking, I love that you are able to close tickets so fast, but one of the things I feel like you have that would be really valuable to the team is insight into the problems and recurring issues and bugs and hiccups that are preventing people in our program from making progress. You have a firsthand look at what those issues are. And oftentimes you do such a great job of closing those tickets and making sure the customers are served that nobody else really hears about them. We don't even really know there's a problem. So what I would love for you to start doing is really keeping track of the problems that you're seeing and the issues and the bugs that are coming up that are recurring, and identify the ones that you believe are really top priority and help us come up with solutions for creating permanent fixes. I want you to be a part of the solution. I want you to think through for us, hey, this is something that I'm fixing all the time that's a headache for customers. And if we could just do X, Y, and Z to make it better, we probably wouldn't get any more tickets about this anymore. How does that sound to you? So we're resetting the expectation. We're having this conversation with our customer support person or customer support team. And then once they agree, and my guess is they're going to come to the table already and be like, oh, yes, like this and this. They're going to have a list of things that they're already thinking about. Then we need to ask the question of determining two things. So one is saying, okay, great. Well, our goal here, the expected outcome would be that ultimately we lead to a reduction in tickets overall as a percentage of members. So that's one of the things that we want you to start tracking, as well as these other things, you already have them track and report on a monthly or weekly basis. Would it be okay if we add the total number of tickets as a percentage of customers so that we could see how good of a job we're doing at squashing these bugs and issues and making sure that we are creating the best experience possible for our customers and therefore reducing the need for customer support? Is that something that you can track regularly? Yes. Okay. So then you get the agreement on what you're going to track, how often you're going to track it. Then the last thing that we need is the two things that we need are we need a consistent reporting schedule. Who does that data get reported to and when? And then, and to whom do they share these problems and potential solutions? What does that look like? And usually that happens in one container. I don't like when it's just a Slack message, it just gets lost. So like if you're thinking, oh, well, they could just post in Slack, that tends to just get lost. But if you have a, what I like to call the customer experience team meeting, where you have your content person, your customer support person, your community person, everybody that's dealing with after the sale of the membership or the program, they come together and they each have time to report on their specific areas. That would be the time that customer support is reporting on their metrics, and then they're coming to the table and they have space to say, here are the problems that we're seeing recurring right now. If they have potential solutions, they can bring them to the table. They could say, this is what we are doing. We'd like a more permanent solution. And then you all can identify the team members who need to own finding the permanent solution for that. But the customer support department or your customer experience lead, whoever you have on your team, needs to follow up to make sure that those solutions are put into place. And this goes back to another episode I've done on the action priority matrix and making sure that you know what problems need to be solved and how much of a priority it is and how much impact it's potentially going to have. What I've found when customer support teams or customer support individuals implement this inside of a business, what we tend to find is that it creates space for your customer support team to give a more wow experience that's more in line with your brand when people message customer support. Because you see great reduction in the number of just little one-off requests that really just like keep them in task mode. They're just constantly like fixing and clicking boxes and sending these canned responses. But the requests that you start getting are more nuanced and your customer support team actually has less requests to deal with, but they get to deal with them in a much more thoughtful way because they're not focused on a ton of emails, trying to get to inbox zero, trying to get that quick response. And they're really thinking about it from a mindset of how can I best serve this customer and how can I leave them with a feeling of wow or a feeling of belonging or a feeling of being seen and heard, which is what we want from our customer support. It should be just as much of a great experience as your community is that you're building. So we find that to be true. And then we find that really early on, there becomes some really low hanging fruit and friction points in your business that you didn't even know were existing for customers. And honestly, you probably have a vocal minority that are complaining about them. And the majority of people just stop trying because this issue that exists is preventing them from having a great experience or getting the result that they want or finding the resource that they need. So what you find is that usually some low-hanging fruit rises to the top. You can find some really quick solutions. And the reason you haven't before is because you just didn't even know it was a problem. You just didn't even know this issue or this bug or this glitch existed. And now that you do, it's easy to squash it. And those little tweaks can really improve your customer experience over time. And whenever we put time and attention into improving the customer experience, whether that be with a team member interaction, like with a customer support team member, or with their experience inside of our hub, or, you know, emails or resource downloads or getting on a live calendar issues, whatever it is, we increase our retention. Because it's all those little friction points that make people stop, that make people not be able to move forward in the moment when they're motivated, that make people question the quality of the program. Can this be trusted? We want to remove as much of that friction as possible. So focusing on your customer support team is one really effective way to do that. So just to recap, we want really clear KPIs. You can track all of the things around timing of tickets that you want. You can track all of those like rating responses, but you definitely want to make sure that it's not all that you track. And you ultimately, as a customer support team, have a goal to reduce tickets overall. How do we reduce tickets? Well, we identify recurring problems bugs, glitches, issues that are coming up inside of customer support tickets, and we bring them to the top. We bring them into the conversation, create potential solutions, and make sure to follow through on resolving those for the long run, which ideally creates more space for us in customer support to have time to create really thoughtful responses and create more of a wow experience versus a you're the next ticket in line, like the DMV, just keep on moving, right? That's not the experience that we want people to have. So it gives us the space to be able to do that. And one of the biggest ways you can do that just to get started is by reviewing all of your canned responses to make sure that they're very thoughtfully written and they're written as if you're talking human to human from your brand's voice or your personality that you have for your program. I know this isn't directly related. I just always want to keep reminding you all that retention has many factors at play. It's not just community, although community is one of the biggest ways you can impact it, which is why I spend so much time focused on it. There are so many other areas like customer support that are impacting your customer's experience and ultimately your retention. So take a week, take a couple of weeks, think through this strategy and move your customer support team forward with a more proactive initiative.
If you have an established membership, you know that retention is the name of the game. When you can keep your customers longer, you increase the lifetime value of each and every customer, which increases your profitability in your business. If you've been wanting to decrease your churn, keep your customers longer, and establish somebody in your business to help really support you on the retention journey, I want you to take a look at my Retain Group Consulting Program. This is crafted specifically to help you establish a solid retention strategy and support a leader on your team that can become the retention leader you've been looking for. Just go to joinretain.com to learn more. Hey friend, thanks for listening. If you like this episode, make sure to subscribe. Then do me a favor and leave a review letting me know what you want to hear more of. To learn more about the show or connect with me, head to shannalynn.com. That's shannalynn.com. Until next time.